Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, you might remember, if you're a regular listener to the programme, this time last year I spoke to author Emma Hetherington just minutes before she was about to receive a stem cell transplant. Well, following that procedure, she spent 6 weeks in isolation, unsure if she'd make it home for Christmas last year. Well, 12 months on, Emma is adjusting to life, living with multiple myeloma, and is about to release a brand new book, would you believe? And she's here. Emma, it's lovely to see you, first of all, to have you here, because our conversations have been over the phone in the past.
Yeah, what a joy to be able to come to Dublin and do nice things like this after being literally isolated for so long and having my whole world turned upside down. So what a difference a year makes.
And how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, yeah, all things considered. So I'm exactly a year post-transplant on the 29th of October. Tomorrow it'll be a year to the day I was admitted to hospital. So a lot of anniversaries and milestones that kind of bring back memories and make me realise just how far I have come. I am on a chemo maintenance drug now every day, and I'm checked once a month by my consultant and his team. My bloods are all checked, and then we see if we're good to go again for another month of medication, knowing that one day I will get the news that the myeloma has returned, because it is a relapse remit cancer. It doesn't ever really go away.
So have you managed to get your head around that now, that you're living with this rather than trying to conquer it or come out the other side?
I'm not quite sure. You know, life and, you know, having a family and even doing what I do for a career, being able to write and escape in that way helps me process, or helps me cope, I suppose, with it. There are times when it hits me out of the blue that this has happened. The last year and a half was real, and that this is never going to change. You know, life is very, very different. But I'm thankfully quite a cool and calm person, quite naturally. So I think, again, that has helped me to cope with the reality of all. But there are moments where, you know, I'll hear of someone else's story who's maybe not going so well, or someone a bit further down the line that, you know, it's back and it's causing trouble. And I realise that, you know, that is what I have ahead. And but I mean, you know, you have to live in the day, and I think that's the best way of coping.
And you've learned that lesson, and we hear that, you know, from people who go through serious illness like this, where they say, no, what matters is what you're doing right now. Today.
Yeah. One day at a time has kind of become a bit of a motto for me. I still do plan ahead. I plan, you know, nice things to look forward to, because I think that's important too. But health wise, it's very much one day at a time. And I have become used to, you know, having to cancel things last minute if some of the really bad fatigue kicks in. And that's not easy, and it's not a nice thing to do. Or, you know, I've also become used to having to risk assess, you know, going and doing things that I would have taken for granted before, like into a crowded space, like say for a concert or a restaurant or somewhere, or a theatre production or something. I have to think, you know, is that worth me taking the risk?
Because the infection risk.
So my immune system is still very low. Multiple myeloma attacks the plasma cells, which is part of your immune system. So my immune system is still very, very low. So I'm still considered high risk.
That's why when you came into the studio there during the break and I asked, could I give you a hug? Because I wasn't sure how close to you I would get. But you're comfortable enough being around us here today.
Yeah, well, again, you know, when I left the City Hospital in Belfast last year, my doctors and nurses were very adamant, go and live your life. You know, you don't want to be wrapping yourself up in cotton wool or not doing the things that you like to do, because the way they said it or put it was, we didn't put you through a major procedure like a stem cell transplant and 6 months of chemotherapy before that for you to sit in your house afraid. So they're very encouraging, you know, go and do the nice things as long as you're sensible enough about it. So if someone's sick, you know, you would like to think, well, they'll keep their distance. And I'll keep mine. So it's about weighing up everyday scenarios in a way that becomes, I suppose, quite natural.
How in the name of all that's holy did you write a book in the middle of all of this?
As I mentioned, you know, I think writing keeps me kind of sane. It keeps me it's a beautiful way I've been able to escape from the reality that I am living with every day. And to be honest, I don't really know how I did it. I don't honestly know. There are parts of the book, you know, if I flick through it now that it's a proper actual book in my hands, and I'll think, did I actually write that? Because I was very, very sick. And obviously there were days when I couldn't write, but in the days that I did, or I could, I really loved it. You know, I really enjoyed it. And
I suppose it's getting back to you, isn't it? You know, away from all of the medical stuff and all of those things, to be able to sit down and write maybe was that escape that you needed.
That's it, you know, and that's who I am. You know, it's part of who I am and it's what I do and it's what I enjoy doing. So it was the one thing, I have to say, that I never... that was never taken away.
And when we were talking to you last year about the book you'd coming out then, you couldn't do any of the launch things. You couldn't go and sign any books or none of that.
No, so I spoke to you from the hospital bed the morning of the stem cell transplant, and I didn't get to see that book on the shelves. So what a treat it's going to be today and tomorrow to be able to go into the bookshops and see the book on the shelves. I think it's going to be quite a moment. It might be a bit of an emotional one too.
Of course it will. And you're planning a big party as well, are you?
Yes, yeah, so I'm going guns blazing in this time. Yeah, I don't normally have a party to celebrate a book because I do bring out one every year, but I think this one deserves a bit of a special celebration. So I'm going to the venue that inspired the story. It's a place called Ballyscullion Park in Ballaghy. Ballaghy is very well known as the home place of Seamus Heaney, the famous poet. So I was very inspired by that place when I visited it for, first of all, for my brother's wedding, and then after that for a book festival. And I just thought, gosh, what a beautiful setting, you know, to create a character who lives in a house like this. And that's where I came up with the character of Ben Heaney, and the story just emerged from that. So I'm having a big party next Wednesday the 29th for readers and for anyone who wants to come, though I have to say I think we're at capacity now. I think we're fully booked, but yeah, it's going to be a great night. We're going to have some live music and some drinks and food and book signings, and we're going to raise some money, hopefully, for a charity that has been very good to me up at home called Caris Cancer Care.
Yeah, you're just incredible. And we should mention, of course, the book is called Every Christmas Eve, and that's what you're marking the launch of today. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that you love music.
I do.
And you have, in the back of your mind, bubbling away, this stage musical that you want to put together. It was all put on hold, of course, when you got sick, but very much on back on the agenda.
Yes. Yeah, so alongside writing Every Christmas Eve this year, I've had this burning idea for years to write a country musical. It was meant to happen in 2024, but now I actually have the script written and I have venues booked for next year for November 26th, and I'm going to be announcing all the details of it soon. It could be corrected on this, but I do think it might be Ireland's first contemporary country musical. And, you know, with Luke Combs coming next year to Slane and the Country to Country Festival, it's country music's massive at the
moment.
Huge. Massive.
And your own involvement in country music. I mean, you wrote the life stories of some of our biggest country music stars, didn't you?
I did, yes. I was very honoured back in 2016-17, I think it was, to write Philomena Begley, the queen of country music, to write her life story with the O'Brien Press. And then a year later, I worked with Penguin Ireland on Nathan Carter's autobiography. So I had great fun. Philomena is a neighbour of mine, and you know, I've known her most of my life. I got to go on the road with Nathan over in England and Wales. We got to tour around on his tour bus, and I really got to see how the whole being a star machine works, you know, from behind the scenes.
And how tough it is.
Oh, how tough it is, yeah. And how much work it goes into it, and the talent that it takes, and the commitment and the dedication, the time away from home. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw that with both Philomena and Nathan, you know, that they are very dedicated to their art, but it doesn't just come easy. You know, there's a lot of hard work and a lot of serious talent involved.
And this music show now, who will write the music? Will you do the music as well? Will you be involved in that side?
At the moment, I have written all the lyrics. So I'm very lucky that my partner, Jim McKee, is also a singer-songwriter as well as being an artist. So we like to make up songs together now and then. We did write a children's musical a few years ago and produced it, just locally to try it out. So we're messing about, I suppose you could say, at the moment, or trying out some melodies, and then we'll go and look for a really good country music producer to bring them to life.
It sounds incredible.
And I'm also using one of Johnny Brady's songs too, I have to say. Mm. So Johnny's well known.
And tell us about your other music connection through your cousin.
Oh, yes, yes. So I have a very cool claim to fame, I have to say. Yeah, so my cousin on my daddy's side, Vivian Campbell, is the guitar player with the rock band Def Leppard. He's
See?
From...
Steeped in the music.
It is, yes. It comes from all angles, I suppose, in the family. We're quite a musical family. But yeah, Vivian, he's the big rock star. He's amazing. And he's been very supportive to me lately because he himself has had his own blood cancer diagnosis as well many years ago, and just recently went through his own stem cell transplant exactly the same time as me, which was just uncanny. So
the two of you going through it together,
yeah,
pretty
and
much.
We were able to talk to each other, you know, and compare notes, I suppose, along the way. And thankfully he's doing absolutely amazing as well. He's just announced recently that he's in 100% remission for the first time, and mm-hmm. he's back on stage and doing what he loves. So it's fantastic.
Great
to see
to
it.
Hear it.
Yeah.
So I mean, you are in great form today and you look really well. But there are days when you're not so good, you know, and I was reading about when the doorbell rang and you just weren't well enough to be able to answer it. And really, you couldn't stand up to answer. And you still have days like that, Emma, don't you?
Yeah. So that was in the depths of my recovery, you know, the horrendous days of severe nausea and fatigue and physically sore from head to toe. I still get days when the fatigue kicks in, and you know, I've learned the difference in tiredness and fatigue. Fatigue you can't fight it. It knocks you off your feet, literally. There are days when I just have to go back to bed and just stay there for as long as it takes until my energy. Even yesterday, and I have to say, like, as much as I was looking forward to coming to Dublin, my energy ran out, you know, in the early evening, and I had to lie down for a good hour and a half just to get it back and to be able to continue getting prepared. So it just, when it kicks in, it kicks in.
And you can't fight it, can you?
You just can't fight it, no. You just have to lie down and let it hopefully pass.
Now, listeners getting in touch, such a great story, an inspirational lady with great energy after such a serious illness. I'm on a similar path myself, and I don't know how she has the energy. So you're inspiring people who are going through the same thing, which is lovely to hear. I read Emma's last book. It was brilliant. I'm looking forward to this new one. I want to wish her the best in her recovery. So what can we expect now from the book, from Every Christmas Eve?
Okay, so it's a festive love story. The title probably gives that away. And as I said, it's set in the village of Ballaghy, which is in South Derry. It tells the story of Ben Heaney and Lou Doherty, who first meet as teenagers. So we first meet them 20 years in the past. And Ben's family throw a big party at their home every year, a big charity do, if you like, for on Christmas Eve. And that's when he and Lou first cross paths. We then follow their story, their connection and their relationship over the next few years. They come from quite different worlds. So they go different ways. But when we meet them in the present day, Ben's family have decided, a bit reluctantly, to bring the Christmas Eve party back. And who else does he need in his camp to help him but Lou Doherty? And when they meet again, of course, the sparks fly. But life isn't as easy as that, of course. So there's going to be a few hurdles in the way. And it's a will they, won't they love story.
The perfect Christmas romance, Emma, which is what we come to expect from you. Well, it is great to see you, and the best of luck with the book. And I can't wait for that musical. That's the one that I'll be in the front row for. Emma Hetherington, and the book is called Every Christmas Eve. We'll take a break, back after this.